Welcome to Drinks and a Show. I'm Cassie, your host that you have every single week. And Carla, we are in the middle of recording. That's a producer, Carla. You can find her on Instagram at carla.torty. You can give that a search. Anyways, before we were interrupted, this is a musical podcast where I like to talk about musicals and Carla absolutely loves to listen to them. To keep up to date with the show, you can search Drink Show Pod on Instagram and Twitter and check out the Spotify playlist I've created of all my favorite songs from the shows I've done episodes on. This episode will definitely be having a lot added. And why is that? If you didn't look at the heading of this episode for some reason, it's because it's Chicago, the 2002 award-winning movie, not just an award-winning, the Academy Award-winning, which doesn't mean anything these days since Tick, Tick, Boom was robbed of Best Picture nomination this year. But hey, I'll go into that one day. Today's not the day. We have Daniel back, who's here to listen about everything to do with Chicago and hear why it's the best movie of all time. Also want to give you a heads up. If you're triggered by me saying Amos's name as Amos a lot, I don't know why I did it, but I did. So let's hear what Daniel thought about it. Welcome back to the show, Daniel. How's it going?
Good, Cass. How are you?
I'm going good. What are you drinking today?
I'm actually drinking a Coke. We're going out for dinner later, yes, so I might have a drink then. But Coke is my my happy drink. I don't know what else to say. We're live today, everyone, so it's weird compared to normal.
Yeah, it's Daniel's first time in person drinkinators, so who knows?
So sorry if I'm a bit rusty. It's just I've got my notepad ready just in case, but I just it's different. We've got a live audience. Megan's here too.
There we go.
So
that's extra pressure on you as
there's
well.
There's so much pressure. So, how have you been?
Yeah, I've been good. I just asked what you were drinking, but thanks. So, since we last spoke, Harry Potter once? Yeah. What have you been doing with musicals since? Have you seen any?
No. I know West Side Story was out. I didn't watch it.
Yeah.
I know Tick, Tick, Boom was out. I didn't watch it.
Love Tick, Tick, Boom. Hamilton?
No, we didn't watch Hamilton.
Oh, you called it Hamlet first.
Hamlet. I haven't watched any musicals. I'm 95% sure. If I would have. No, but I know the TikTok things. And while I'm there, I just while I'm on that train of thought, I wanted to say that I was just Safdie's muse when everyone else got jabs.
Yeah. Is that what you wanted
to say? That's exactly what I wanted to say. I've been dying to get that out, so what a stupid thing that I wanted to include this week. Megan has no idea what that
is. Do you know TikTok?
So, I don't know who Julia Fox is. But I keep seeing it.
Josh
Safdie's muse. And things like that. You know?
Have you seen Uncut Gems?
No.
It's a very stressful movie. I would not want to be the muse for that one at all.
What is a muse? I mean, she doesn't explain herself.
Well, that's someone who inspires you to do like your art or something like that. Yeah.
But anyway, Chicago.
Chicago, which is what we're doing today. How have you gone your whole life without ever seeing it?
Yes, pretty easy.
Yes. So the movie itself,
really, I know about that. Won awards.
Yeah, won Best Picture Oscar. I mean, spoilers so for did, the awards.
So section. Did like, I'm trying to think, Moonlight, which we thought was so boring. So
yeah, you don't care if something is an Oscar-winning movie that wouldn't make you want to see it.
No.
So is there anything you know about the movie Chicago?
Renee Zellweger and Catherine Zeta-Jones and I think Richard Gere.
Yes.
That's it. That is genuinely, and I can just picture the cover.
Yeah.
At the video shop.
Yeah, right.
That's all.
I saw this movie first before I ever saw the stage show, and I saw the stage show a couple of years ago in Melbourne. It was like a 42 degree day or something, so I was already in a bad mood. And Nat Bass was in it.
Oh.
Yeah. And I hated it. I think because I like the movie so much that actually seeing what it's based on, I'm like, this is shit. Even though technically the movie's based on it.
Yeah, fair, fair.
Okay, I'll go into the background. The music is by John Kander, lyrics by Fred Ebb, and the book is by Fred Ebb and as well as Bob Fosse.
No way.
Bob Fosse is a huge deal.
Mm-hmm.
So it's based on a 1926 play of the same name, so called Chicago, which was done by a reporter called Maureen Dallas Watkins, and that's based on real stories that she reported from and how back in the 20s that, because you probably don't know this yet, but it's about people in jail.
No, I didn't know that.
So it's based on how these people kind of became like celebrities, but they're just criminals and stuff like that. It opened in Broadway in 1975, was there for 2 years, but the revival that came out in 1996 was a lot more successful, so they redid how the show was. And it is the longest running revival musical on Broadway, the longest running American musical since technically Phantom is British.
Oh, I did that one too, everyone. Yeah. Go back to episode whatever number.
Insert in post here.
Yeah.
And it's the second behind Phantom for being the longest show on Broadway ever. And then in London, when it had its run, it was about the same, only on in the 70s for like a little bit and then for a long time in the revival. The Chicago is known...
That's our dishwasher. Apologies, everyone. Keep going.
It's known for like having celebrities come in and like play like what Nat Bass was playing, Roxy Hart. So they have like a lot of the housewives come in and do it. I think Kris Jenner did like a I'm going to be on it storyline in Kardashians.
I mean, I'll get hate for that too. Come at me, Kardashians.
But I got like a list of people. You've got like Ashley Simpson.
Wow, that's big.
Patrick Swayze, Jerry Springer.
Jerry Springer.
Michael C. Hall, the guy who played Dexter.
Oh.
Usher, he did it. Cuba Gooding Jr. Heaps of people.
Wow.
Yeah, Tom Cruise's wife. Not Tom Cruise's wife.
Katie Holmes.
Tom Hanks's wife.
Rita Holmes.
Rita Wilson.
Rita Wilson. Yeah.
Thank and you. And you said Holmes. Katie
Holmes. That's exactly... Rita Wilson is exactly
who I am. Yeah, you got Rita right, which is probably the most impressive part. So, yeah, that's what I think is why it's still on stage for so long. They just bring, like, a celebrity in for, like, 2 months.
God. I wonder what the paycheck's like. Look that up in post, too.
Look at the paycheck.
Yeah.
Well, it'll be quite a bit depending on the name. Like, when you get a housewife in, it won't be as much as...
Oh, Kris Jenner's getting billions.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Alright, you ready to find out about Chicago?
Yep.
Alright. So we start off with 5, 6, 7, 8. And we go into like jazzy music.
Oh, I hate jazz. We're in for a long ride.
We are. We are in a 20s jazz club.
Oof.
Jazz music is playing. And we hear like, it's just like a busy club. There's a manager saying, "Where are the Kelly sisters?" Write that down.
Oh, Kelly sisters, yeah.
And we see one of the sisters shows up. Her name's Velma Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
And she says her sister's not herself tonight, but don't worry, I can do it alone.
For context for me, Kelly sisters, is that Renee and Catherine? Because I can picture them.
So Velma Kelly is Catherine.
Velma, yep, yep, cool.
And then the other sister we won't be seeing.
Oh.
So as we see Velma go into her dressing room getting ready, we see her, she's holding a gun, she hides it away, she's cleaning blood off her hands. She gets in time to start the opening number of the show called All That Jazz.
Oh, God. Jazz is just like, boop, 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 boop. I don't know, it's not my vibe. I
love this song. It's like the first minute and a half is all like music, like instrumental.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next... 5 minutes or so. It's best.
Sounds great.
So in the crowd, we see Roxy, who is Renee Zellweger.
Renee Zellweger.
She's watching in amazement and then imagines herself on the stage doing what Velma's doing. And she's there with a fella who takes her home, and we keep crossing back from their adventures back home to Velma on stage. So like, oh, the music's still going. And
oh, yeah, yep.
She's just like getting very, they like bang. Pretty much.
You were looking for a subtle way to say it, and then you just came out.
Yeah, yeah, they're just banging. We just see them like making out in like the hallway of like her apartment, and then they're like making out on a door, and the door opens. The neighbor sees them. She goes, "Oh, hey, Mrs. Neighbor, it's my brother." Hee hee hee. And then they like go off into her room, and then by the end of the song, we see the police are arriving at the club, and they're looking at Velma like, And that's the end of all that jazz.
Oh God, thank goodness for everyone at home.
You're all gonna love it. So we go back to Roxy, and so the guy that she's banging, he's called Fred, and this is after they've just made love, and it's been like a month that they've been like on and off making love. And she goes, "When are you going to introduce me to your manager friend who works down at the jazz club?" And then he's kind of like annoyed. She just keeps talking, goes, "Hey, okay, I don't know anyone at the club. I just said that so I'd get into your pants." And she's like, "What?"
Wow.
And then he goes, "Yeah, you know, you were just easy to get to, and that's why I did it." And she goes, "No, don't say that." And he's like, "You were never going to get an act, kiddo." In a Chicago accent, I guess.
What's the Chicago accent? Just so I know.
Wake up, kiddo. You're never going to get an act.
Oh, yeah.
Ask me to do a New York accent. It'll probably sound exactly.
No, New York, I know. That's more like, yeah, I can. I'm not going to do the accent. I was tempted, but I didn't cross that line. Cool. Got it.
You got it. So she's upset, and then she's like, "No, don't do this to me," like goes on, and he like pushes her off, and she goes, "No, don't leave, Fred. Then she goes into her drawers and grabs out a gun and goes, "Don't do this." And as he leaves, she like shoots him like two times, but he's turned around, so the gunshots are at the front, actually.
Okay.
Yeah. That's important for us true crime people, you know. If they had gunshots in the back, you're like, "No, they weren't doing anything wrong. They're leaving." The next scene, we see that the police are in the apartment, and they're questioning Roxy's husband, Amos. So not Fred.
Oh.
So she's been cheating on Amos.
That dirty hooker.
Yeah. And we hear Amos is telling the police that he's the one who shot this guy because he was a burglar who came in. And he goes, "Lucky I came home in time. Like, Roxy was just home alone."
Wow, so he's like supporting her.
Yeah.
That's deep.
And then Roxy goes, "Well, that isn't a crime. Well, just last week, everyone thanked a man for killing someone who, like, broke into their house." And then she goes into a song called Funny Honey about how Amos, he's like a little funny honey. He's kind of stupid, but he'll do anything I say.
Mm-hmm.
And then the detective mentions the name of the person who's deceased. He goes, "Name of the deceased, Fred Casely." And he goes, "Fred Casely? But that's the guy who sold us our furniture. Why would he be a burglar?" And they're like, "What do you mean? How do you not know who you shot?" And then he goes, "Well, Roxy told me to say that the guy was burgling us so that I'd get off because she wouldn't be able to get off like if the woman shoots him." And Roxy goes, "No, he was trying to burgle me." And then the cop goes, "Well, from what I heard from your neighbor, he's been burgling you 3 times a week for the last month. Get in here." So she's like really mad. She goes, "Oh no." And then she goes, "Yeah, so what? I shot him and I'll do it again."
Oh, I think I've seen this scene.
Yeah.
Somewhere. But anyway, keep going.
I reckon you've probably maybe seen Chicago.
Nah, I haven't seen Chicago.
So she's arrested and she's been sent to the Cook County Jail. And as she's being put away into like the truck, they're like, "Yeah, they say this could be a hanging case." And she goes, "A hanging case? What does that mean?" And we just see the truck like disappear. So Mama Morton, who is the prison warden, played by Queen Latifah.
Wow. Yeah. That is a big name. Yeah. I'll write that down.
If you want, yeah. Her musical number is called When You're Good to Mama. So if you give her money, she'll give you whatever you want. She's completely corrupt.
I love it.
Yeah. So as she's taking Roxy to her cell, she sees Velma and she goes, "Hey, Mama, did you see this article about me?" And then Mama goes, "Yeah, that's pretty good. You can't buy that publicity, can you?" And then she goes, "Oh, I guess I don't need to give you this." And she goes, whoop, takes the money. So that's the kind of strings like Mama can pull.
I'm there for it.
Yeah. And next we go into the Cell Block Tango, which is probably like one of the most popular songs. You know, he had it coming.
Oh, yeah.
So we're introduced to Roxy's other cellmates. So they go Pop, Sick, Squish, Cicero, Lipschitz. So all those words relate to each person's story.
Okay.
So Pop, Bernie liked to pop gum. And so while he was popping gum, the girl was a bit irritated, said, if you pop that gum one more time, and he did. So she grabbed the shotgun off the wall and fired two warning shots into his head. this girl was dating someone called Ezekiel Young. They were living the good life till it turns out he wasn't single. He actually had six wives. One of those Mormons, you know. So when he came home from work, she fixed up his drink like normal and then says, some guys just can't hold their arsenic.
Killed him.
Yep.
Boom.
Squish.
Detecting a pattern.
Why they're all in Cook County jail. So Squish, Wilbur comes home in the kitchen in a jealous rage saying, have you been screwing the milkman? And she goes, he was crazy. And then he kept saying, have you been screwing the milkman? And then he ran into her knife. He ran into her knife 10 times.
Was that what she called? 10? What was her name?
She's Squish.
Squish. Gotcha. Yes. I was like, what was her name?
Next one is So this person is Hungarian. So this whole section actually like sung in a different language. But from what it says, it's that she got accused of chopping her husband's head off. But this is the only one who's actually innocent out of all these girls. So she was wrongly accused. And apparently in the movie, that character is played by a Russian actress and that even Hungarians listen to it because her accent is so strong. They're like, it's even hard for us to understand like what this person's saying. While us people who don't speak any of those languages are like, yes.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Whatever you say. Cicero. This is Velma Kelly's story. So...
which is Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Her and her sister Veronica had a double act and they were making heaps of money. And then one time it was her sister and her husband who were just hanging out at a hotel Cicero. And while she went to go get some ice for their drinks, when she came back, they were doing number 17 from their act, the Spread Eagle. So she was in such a state of shock that she blacked out. She didn't know what was happening. It wasn't until she came to again, she was washing blood off her hands. She goes, damn, they must be dead.
Damn.
Last one, Lipschitz. You know Maya, Case of the X singer? Yeah, this is her.
Wow.
Yeah.
She went into movies?
Well, this is like 2000 and...
Yeah, she was at her prime.
Yeah. So she's telling us all about Al Lipschitz, who she loved more than anything. He was an artist, but he would also cheat on her. And so they end up having artistic differences. He saw himself as alive and she saw him dead.
Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah. So a lot of the line that they go through is like, he had it coming. It was a murder, but not a crime.
So they all go through and like introduce themselves.
Yeah. Like, this is why we're here. This is what the shitty thing the guy did.
The exposition.
Yeah. And in the dance, whenever like, it's all like contemporary dancing of like how they killed the guys and stuff, and they have a red handkerchief like whenever they kill them, like someone running to their knife 10 times and pull out a handkerchief. The only one that has a white one is the Hungarian
the
girl,
the one that's innocent.
Yeah. Which is something I found out reading the trivia on IMDb. Not from watching. I've never took that in at all. Yeah, that's like our nice introduction. That goes for like 7 minutes or something. It's so good.
Shit. Is it a long production? I've never...
The movie only goes for like 2 hours. Actually, it's probably even...
Because West Side Story is long, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the Spielberg one felt very long.
Weren't a fan.
I don't know. It was a musical, yeah. But it was very cinematic. And I don't go there. I don't watch a musical all to see the cool scenes.
Wow. You heard it here first, folks. Cass McKay hates musicals.
I'm just salty because it was nominated over Tick, Tick, Boom. So Roxy tries to get advice from Velma. She like tries to say, suck up to her. Ben goes, you know, I was a chorus girl previously. I want to get some like advice of like, when I'm out of here, and then Mama goes, whatever, I don't care what you're saying, like, just brushes her off. And Mama Morton sees exchange between the two of them. She goes, you know what, I like you, I'm gonna offer you some help. And then she goes, what do you mean? I don't need help, I'm just gonna tell them the truth. And then Mama goes, well, they haven't hung a woman here in 47 years, but you never know when that's gonna happen. I heard that it's a hanging case. I could do a phone call for you to Billy Flynn. That's gonna be Richard Gere.
Oh, ding ding.
Yeah. So Billy Flynn's, his big flair is that he's never lost a case for his female clients.
Okay.
Always gets them off. So then we go into a Billy Flynn musical number where all I care about is love. He doesn't care about money. He doesn't care about this. He just cares about helping people.
It's a lie.
Yeah. Because he is a lawyer.
Yeah. Dirty snakes.
So he is representing Velma. And then they're talking to Mary Sunshine, who is like the big journalist that, like, you want to appease to, like, whatever she says, the people are gonna, like, listen to what
who's
her
that story. Really? Who's that in the movie?
Christine Baranski.
Mm.
Yeah.
She's big.
Yeah.
They've got some big people in this.
Yeah. And in the musical, it's actually played by a guy in drag, but it's so convincing in the first act that you don't even know. It's not until like the second act when it's like revealed and you're like, wait, that's been a guy this whole time. But in the movie they decide to go with Christine Baranski. Yeah. Velma is going with the story that she doesn't remember a thing except that she didn't do it, because that's what she's being coached to say by Billy. And then walking through the prison, Roxy asks Billy, saying, hey, can you represent me? He goes, yeah, sure, just $5,000, contact my office, and then I can do it. And this is $5,000 in the 20s.
Damn.
And she goes, oh, I don't really know how to do this. And she tries to, like, seduce him through, like, jail bars. And he goes, okay, I'm glad you got that off your chest. $5,000. Get in contact with me. Then we see Amos goes to see Billy Flynn, which Amos is played by John C. Reilly.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
When he's like a serious actor and stuff. So and
the
he
four
can see.
Stepbrothers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes there. Billy keeps calling him Andy. And he's surprised that Amos is willing to keep defending his wife. Even though she tried to blame him, she was cheating on him and all these reasons. Like, he goes, it's pretty weird that you're like still sticking around. And he ends up giving him $2,000. He goes, I borrowed money from this. This is from the guys at the shop. And he only had $2,000. And so Billy goes, well, what are you, a liar? You told me you had $5,000. You know, the guy who only cares about love. And he goes, but I like you, so I am going to represent you. As he, like, pulls the money slides it across the table, like, into his drawer. So he's going to take the case, even though he didn't pay full price. So he's going to give Roxy an image of her being a poor gal who was led astray by jazz and liquor. So we see Billy is talking to Velma, and Velma comes up with an idea of what she's going to do when she's on the stand.
Yep.
She's going to cry, and then she's going to, like, move her leg and show a bit of skin. So the jury, which is always full of men back then. And then he's like, yeah, whatever, sweetheart. Sees Roxy, who's now got a new hairdo.
Mm-hmm.
She got a regrowth done because she paid Mama money for the bleach. And so the next day is Roxy's first press conference, and it's a musical number where Roxy is like a puppet and Billy's like controlling like what she's saying. So like whenever she's talking, she's just like, bah, 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 bah. And so whenever they ask a question, it's like, where'd you come from? Mr. Sampy. Mm-hmm. And that's just Billy doing all the singing. So her story is that she was an orphan raised by nuns, and one day she met Amos, who convinced her to elope one day.
Yep.
And then Fred was her ex-boyfriend, and she shot him because while she was leaving, he was angry like a madman. He had strength, she had none, and yet they both reached for the gun.
Oh, yep.
And so they both reached for it. She just happened to get to it first, and that's why.
In self-defense.
In self-defense, she had no other choice to do it. So Mary Sunshine goes, understandable, comprehensible, not a bit reprehensible, it's so defensible.
Mm-hmm.
And they blame jazz, liquor, and men who play for fun. And that's like that whole song.
Situation.
Yeah. So that's like her first press conference. And then Roxy, she's making news. Every girl wants to look like her. Every guy wants to date her. There's Roxy dolls. People are getting her name tattooed on her, on them.
Even when she's a prisoner.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, because they're like, oh, this poor girl, she's just a victim of her upbringing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, how else was she meant to come out of this life if not a murderer? She had no choice. So Velma's sick of the attention that Roxy is getting, and she complains to Mama Morton, who we see now has the classic Roxy hair.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, come on, you too. And then it turns out Velma's tour that she was going to do after she got not guilty has been cancelled because everyone only cares about Roxy. And then Mama goes, probably wouldn't hurt if you just sucked up to her. And then we see Velma. She does an act of desperation where she goes, hey, Roxy, remember how, like, before you wanted to, like, get some advice? Well, I'm happy to give you some now. And Roxy just, like, not even care anymore.
Yep.
She goes, like, I don't really need you anymore. And then Velma sings a song saying, I can't do it alone, saying, hey, we should do the double act that I was doing with my sister where we were making $1,000 a week. And then the whole performance, she goes, like, what the double act is, and she's just doing it, like, herself. And then, like, it's all really good dancing, like, when you see it in person and stuff like that. That was probably my favourite part about it because Velma Kelly tends to be the actual talented person on the cast. Might be controversial. Like, when they get...
Who do the celebrities play?
Normally, like, Roxy, Billy Flynn...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, well, at least what I saw, it was, she was clearly, like, the better dancer and stuff like that. So, Roxy says that Velma is washed up and she doesn't need her. And then goes, oh, by the way, I saw your name in the paper today over here in the obituaries. It says, oh, Velma Kelly's trial has been postponed indefinitely. That's the first she's heard of it. So, she goes, great. So, Roxy's now being moved forward while Velma's is being pushed back. Yeah. Then we see Billy, he's out for dinner, and he's talking about a new client that he's just got, an heiress played by Lucy Liu.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's very early 2000s, isn't it?
Literally, it's just like a call of, like, famous people.
Yeah.
Where is Lucy Liu? Anyway, that's food for thought, everyone. Someone find Lucy Liu.
Yeah, add that in post. So... Lucy Liu has been arrested because she came home to her partner who was in bed with two other women. And apparently his excuse was, well, what are you going to believe? What you see or what I tell you? I'm here in the bed alone. So she triple homicides, shoots them
all. Oh, damn.
And then now she's the new star that everyone's going crazy over. So now she's getting the Roxy treatment and Roxy is the new Velma.
Now the double act is needed.
Yeah. So while all, like, the press is there in the prison, Roxy's like, hey, Miss Sunshine, don't you want to know this? Hey, don't you want to know this, Billy Flynn? And they're like, yeah, yeah. And Billy, like, ends up calling her, like, the wrong name. And then she decides to faint. And everyone goes, oh, no, Roxy, are you okay? And then she goes, I'm fine. I just hope I didn't hurt the baby.
Oh.
And then now she's got the attention again. And we see also Velma, who's like, oh, no. Which who you're thinking, like, she probably wishes she thought of it.
Yeah.
So we see the next scene. The doctor confirms that she's pregnant because we see that she's just putting her clothes back on. So we think she gave him a gob.
Oh, yep.
While she's on the way back to the truck to take her to the prison, you know, there's press everywhere and Amos is there, goes, Roxy, he's excited. He's going to be a father. He had no idea. And he goes, Roxy. And then she's just, like, ignoring him except for, like, the press, and then she gets in the car and, like, drives away. Then we see Amos is there alone and he starts singing a song called Mr. Cellophane because everyone just looks right through him.
Oh, bless.
And then he goes to Billy Flynn's office, who keeps calling him Andy.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, hey, Amos, isn't it so exciting? You know, Roxy's pregnant, and I still think it's great that you're sticking by, you don't care about people laughing at you or anything like that. And he goes, why would they laugh at me? He goes, because they can do basic maths. And he goes, didn't you say that you guys hadn't been intimate since this day? He goes, yeah. He goes, yeah, we'll do the counting. And then Amos, he's just like, oh, I can't believe she'd do this to me. That's it. I'm going to leave her. Billy goes, yeah, you definitely leave her. And he, like, amps him up. Pre-trial, we see Billy is telling her to wear like this nun-like dress and like wants her to be like knitting and just look like this very innocent girl who definitely wouldn't kill someone because they wouldn't get her a gig. And she goes, hell no, I'm not doing that. I'm doing a better job than you are at looking good in front of the press. I don't even need you. The public loves me. You're fired. He goes, well, I quit. And then she goes back to her cell, and as she goes back to her cell, they see the Hungarian girls getting walked down. They're like, oh, what happened? They're like, oh, she lost her last appeal. She's going to be hanged. So the one that we know that's innocent
is getting guilty.
Yeah, also because she doesn't speak English. No one understands what she's saying.
Damn.
And so Roxy, now seeing the possibility of a woman getting hanged, she goes back to call Billy. Then is now doing whatever he wants, whatever he asks her. Wearing the dress, knitting, whatever she needs to do. And he goes and says, all you need to do is give him the old razzle dazzle. And then that's a whole song. How I was saying, like, everyone's so stupid. Give them the razzle dazzle and they'll believe whatever you tell them. And Amos, who we see, is on the stand, and Billy's saying, hello, Amos. And he goes, you know my name. So now he's like into a sense of security with Billy. He goes, oh, the cool guy likes me. And he's like, so you're divorcing Roxy, right? Amos goes, yeah, because that baby isn't mine. And Billy goes, well, how do you know that? Did you ever ask her? And he goes, no. And he goes, you're telling me, you as a husband, like next to your wife every night, and you didn't do your husbandly duties to her? And he goes, well, you know, I wanted to. And then he goes, so, but what if I was to tell you that that baby is definitely yours? If Roxy swears to you today that baby's yours, will you get back with her? And he goes, yes. And then you look at Roxy, he just goes, nods. And he goes, Billy's like, there we have it, folks. They're back together. And then the whole like courtroom like starts cheering. So it really just takes the attention away of why he's there in the first place. So that was clearly Billy's plan the whole time.
Love it.
And next we see Roxy, who's on the witness stand. And we can see there's a clear script between her and Billy. Goes, and what were you doing on this night? And why were you unhappy? And like doing that, clearly leading the witness.
Yep, yep.
And Roxy talks about how she ended up with Fred. She admits that she killed him, but she's not a criminal. And in her own words, she told Fred that she was pregnant with Amos's baby, and then that's why Fred got really mad.
Oh, yeah.
And she's like, I've got to stop this affair. You know, I want to have a kid with my husband. And that's why he got so mad, launched for the gun at the same time in defense of her unborn baby. She had to kill this man that was coming at her. And then she faints. And what's happening is this is like being broadcasted like on the radio, like everything that's happening. And we hear Mama and Velma listening to it in the jail. And Velma's mad because she saw a lot of the theatrics, like showing like the leg and things like that, that she came up with and told Billy. And Mama goes, you don't think I just brought you up here to listen to what's going on, did you? I've got something I'd like you to see. And we see Roxy's diary. And she goes, have a little peek into there. And then we see the next scene is Velma getting sworn into court. And she reads from the diary where it says, I really enjoyed plugging Fred Casely. I'm glad I killed that guy. And it says stuff like that. And then the prosecution goes, no further questions, Your Honor. And then Billy comes out and goes, can you read something else just from this diary? And then there's sentences that go, it says like the word erroneous in it, reneging, and it's all words that clearly wouldn't be used by a poor orphan girl brought up by nuns.
Yeah.
And Billy goes, wow, they really sure sound like words from lawyers. And they're like, you're not trying to say that. The prosecution goes, I'm not trying to say anything. Velma, are you telling me that, like, do you know what perjury is?
Yeah.
Are you saying you found this? And she goes, no, I didn't find it. It got sent anonymously to the prison, and I was told that I had to read this today. And they're like, wow. So just questioning the validity of this diary, everyone. And then we go towards the end of the trial, and the whole Chicago is listening to the verdict. They're like, what's it going to be? And then the foreman of the jury goes, we the men of the jury, whatever they say, find the defendant, and then the camera goes to a newspaper that says guilty, and then scans over to one that says not guilty. And then the guy's like waiting for like the signal, and then we see him grab the not guilty pile of newspapers and gets ready to sell. Turns out she's innocent.
No way.
So people are going crazy to buy the papes, and then outside the courthouse, yeah, that's what they call them in Newsies. Outside the courthouse where it's getting pretty crazy, we then see a lady who shoots a guy, and then the press now goes crazy for this new murderer, who's like, oh my, first of all, there's a murderer. But then they all leave the courtroom and goes, but hey, we're going to get a shot of this.
Yeah, get it?
Yeah. So all the press ends up leaving that courtroom, and then we just have Billy and Roxy, who's just chilling there. And Roxy goes, wait, where's everyone going? Like, you got your money. What do I get? I get nothing. And he goes, freedom? Like, I got you exactly what you wanted. And then he goes, I also didn't just get $5,000 from you. I also got a total of $10,000 if you include that amount I got from Velma. So it turns out he had set up that Velma plan the whole time so that people can question the validity of it.
I get it.
And Velma did that in exchange for her to be let off for her murder charge as well.
Oh, the double.
Yeah.
Double wham.
He ends up leaving, and then we see Amos is still there. And then he goes, come on, Roxy, we can go home. We can have our family. She goes, I'm not pregnant, you dummy. Like, you still believe that? And then he goes, oh. And then he's sad, ends up leaving her alone. And then she's just looking out the window, seeing the press go crazy over this new, young, pretty killer that isn't her. And then as we come to a close, we see Roxy goes to auditions, and they're like, didn't this girl shoot someone once? And they're like, yeah, doesn't everybody? And they're like, thank you, like, stop her, like, mid-song. And like, obviously, we're not going to hire her. And then as she's leaving her audition, she comes across Velma, who goes, hey, what a coincidence, huh? Remember how I said that thing about a double act? And she goes,
I get it going.
Yeah. But at first, Roxy goes, why would I do that with you? Like, we hate each other. And then as she drops something, we see that Velma's got, like, ripped stockings.
Uh-huh.
So Velma's, like, not in a good way either. So Roxy goes, we hate each other. This won't ever work. And she goes, lucky for you, that's the best business to be in when you hate someone. Show business, baby.
Boom.
So they now have a double act that they do. And the show ends on a song called Nowadays, where they're so vaudeville and very jazzy. And they even come out mid-song with like a bunch of like guns. And they're like dancing with the guns. And the crowd's like, ha, 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 ha.
Yeah, I get
it. And then they turn around, they go like poof, 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 behind them where all the lights are, and it says like Roxy and Velma.
The double act.
Yeah. And they're a huge hit, and that's Chicago.
Wow. Yeah. I could picture that. That was good. Thank you for the context. What's better, the musical or the movie?
The movie. I love the movie.
Okay. Yeah. Who directed the movie?
Mm-hmm.
Who directed it?
I don't know.
Oh.
Actually, mine have best director. Oh, here we go. Director Rob Marshall.
Oh, yeah. He did another one.
Did he?
Marshall. Hold on. I'm quickly going to look up what he did. He did Mary Poppins Returned. Memoirs of a Geisha. He's doing the new Little Mermaid.
Okay.
With,
so he likes his musicals.
Melissa McCarthy is Ursula.
So what are your thoughts on it? Do you like how it's?
I would watch that, I think.
Yeah.
I would actually watch that.
Yeah.
So let it be known on the record. Like, I'm not going to rush out this weekend, but I would actually give it some thought and time.
Does it help because it's got all those big names to celebs?
Yeah,
in it? Yeah,
so I can put context to it.
Yeah.
So I could imagine Queen Latifah as like a warden,
yeah,
being funny, you know? So, and like the other stuff. So yeah, that was good.
Right, I'll tell you the awards that it won.
Mm-hmm.
So the original production obviously didn't do that well. It was only on for 2 years. The revival won a lot. We've got best revival of a musical, leading actor, leading actress.
Wow.
The best direction of a musical, best choreo, and best lighting design also won the Grammy for best musical show album in 1997.
What was it competing against? I'm joking.
And the best actress that won wasn't Roxy, it was the girl who played Velma, which, like I said, I feel like Velma's the more talented
role. Yeah.
No offense, Renee. I'm sure you worked hard. I just feel like...
Renee's got a lot going on.
Yeah.
She's Bridget Jones. She actually didn't need to do this. She did it and thought, you know, what, it's a side thing.
Well, fun fact, Charlize Theron actually had the role, but then when they changed directors to Rob Marshall, she had to audition again and they ended up giving it to Renee Zellweger.
Charlize wouldn't be right for the role.
Well, she's like a ballet-trained dancer, though.
Has she been in a musical? No.
I don't think so, because I don't know what she sounds like singing.
No, I can't picture that either.
The movie, what, that one at the Oscars? Best Picture?
Who is it against?
That's a good question. I'm not sure who.
Like, I'd love... Yeah, give me that rundown, because that is... And what were the Razzies of that year? That's how I kind of, like, go about my Oscars. I want to know the best and the worst.
Well, with it, it is one of the first Best Picture musicals where it didn't also win Best Screenplay or Best Director. So it's like one of those things, like, this movie as a whole is good.
But we don't like the direction or the screenplay.
Yeah, I don't like...
I always find that weird. I always find that so weird.
I honestly don't know how you can say best director. I'm like, how do you know...
When it's... Wouldn't that be then the best picture? That's why I think that too.
Yeah, you're like, oh, you like how that was directed, so that means you like that.
I would actually say with Moonlight...
Yeah.
Best screenplay... And I would say it was great direction, but the story was boring. So that to me doesn't say best picture anyway. Again, I'm just putting that out there.
I haven't seen it, so I don't even know if this is controversial. It's
really boring.
Winners and nominees.
Hit me with it.
Catherine Zeta-Jones won. Best picture was against Gangs of New York, The Hours, Lord of the Rings, and The Pianist.
It's like, the what? I gotcha. Pianist. Lord of the Rings, which one?
Second one.
Oh, Two Towers.
Yeah. So, Roman Polanski, controversial, won the best director over Rob Marshall.
What was his movie?
That's The Pianist.
Oh, sorry. I didn't even do that on purpose, everyone. Just letting you know. Fair. Who was best actor that year?
Adrian Brody for The Pianist.
Yeah. My bad.
But also, no one was so... Billy Flynn wasn't nominated for that anyway. Renee lost to Nicole Kidman for The Hours, which is, I think, is the one where she wore the fake nose. And then, yeah, Catherine Zeta-Jones beat out Queen Latifah and Meryl Streep.
What was Meryl in that year? Mamma Mia? I'm joking.
Adaption?
No, I don't know that. How interesting.
They also won Best Costume Design, Best Film Editing, and Best Sound.
I get it.
So, if you want to know the true story behind, like, the Velma and the Roxy and, like, the journalist, you can listen to the Hollywood Crime Scene episode, which I listened to a while ago and I didn't want to listen to it again. So
it can't be that good, but still...
It is good, but they do a lot of episodes.
Yeah, gotcha.
Highly recommend if anyone is still into true crime podcasts. Okay, so this is like our first successful one because you didn't want to see any of the Phantoms.
No.
And you've had the opportunity to see any of the Starkid Potter musicals since they're all available on YouTube.
No, I certainly haven't. I don't necessarily know if I watched this, but I would probably, of all of them, this is the one that I would watch.
Yeah.
But I'm more interested in probably the Oscar situation than the musical. And then what else did I do? I did another one at the very start.
Yeah, Phantom and then the Phantom
sequel. No, before Phantom.
Oh, we did. Oh, it was Something Rotten.
That's right. That was trash, so I never want to do that again.
So, I would say this is a successful episode.
Yep.
The best one we've had.
Yep.
And I wish we could watch Chicago.
Oh.
But we've got dinner plans.
We've got dinner plans, but, you know, I've got a week off, so maybe.
Well, yeah, it's on Stan, everyone, as well.
Oh, sponsored.
Sponsored by Stan. And, yeah, thank you heaps for joining me, Daniel.
Anytime. Thanks for making it down to my hood.
Anytime.
Thanks for listening, Drinkinators. And I hope you're enjoying our movie musical march that I'm doing. There is a few more to come, obviously, because we're not at the end of March. If you're loving this, subscribe for episodes that come out on Tuesday. Follow Drink Show Pod Insta and Twitter, Spotify playlist. Check it out. That's on the in the episode description on the link tree on the Insta and the Twitter. You can give the show 5 stars and also review it on Apple. I think I heard another podcast say you could do it on Spotify. No idea where to see that or if possible, could be lying. Thank you heaps for sticking around if you're still listening to this part of the potty, and I will catch you next time. Bye.